rest on their feet and sing the chorus just before the pastor comes.
Amen. We have got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got this power in the name of the Lord. If Satan rages, we shall not be defeated. We've got this power in the name of the Lord.
We've got the power.
Let's just have a word of prayer before we read the word of God, and we're reading from Matthew 18 tonight. And let's pray for Brother Mark, couldn't make it tonight, sister. His wife's working. My head's totally gone. If I see 60, I don't know what it'll be like. But Abigail as well is not feeling too well. We want to pray for Abigail. Sister Alva's working. And want you to pray as well for my son Daniel and his girlfriend. She's having a baby at the minute. She might have it before the meeting's over in New Zealand. They're not serving the Lord, and I want them to to serve in the Lord. I want to see them saved and serve in the Lord. And I want you to pray for my children and that the Lord will move on them. Amen. That God will get a hold of them and really move on them, praise God. And that, you know, I got the chance to talk to Micah when I was over the last time and left her some literature. And I also got the chance to talk to her mom and left her literature as well. But they're not really church-going people. And somebody said that doesn't make a difference. But, well, if you're going to some church and you're hearing a little bit, it's better than nothing, isn't it? That's the thing about it. And the main thing's been born again. That's the main thing. Amen. So I want to pray for them tonight. And just lift our heads. If you ever need, just lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for the songs we've been singing tonight. We have the power in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak your name in this building right now. The name of Jesus Christ. The name that's far above every other name. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. We pray, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And we shall be whiter than the snow. Sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, we pray. Lord, I come against every devil, every demonic force, every work of the devil tonight. We ask for it to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for every hand raised in this room. You know every need, every circumstance, every situation. Lord, I pray, I'll answer prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless Mark and Sister Alba and all the girls. And we pray especially for Abigail tonight. You'll touch her and you'll heal her in the name of the Lord. We pray for others tonight that need your touch. I think of wee Aidan Brown tonight over in the hospital. Lord, I pray you'll touch him and speak to him. May it be a time of reflection when he'll think of the night that he called on your name to be saved. And Lord, did you really do something in him? In the name of Jesus Christ, and raise him up in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray for Daniel and Micah tonight, especially Micah. Lord, did you give your strength and your grace that everything will be well in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, did you save them and save the wee one. Lord, in Jesus' precious name, Lord, your word says that if we look unto you and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Amen. We pray for every home represented in this house tonight for household salvation in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. Lord, I need you, but I know you're near. Lord, you're closer than the very breath we breathe. I thank you for your presence even coming here tonight. I thank you for the Holy Spirit near. And I pray, Lord, that you'll breathe on this meeting tonight the breath of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Isn't God good? I won't try and be too long tonight. I want us some time to pray. Matthew 18, verse 15 to 20. And then I want to read you a wee statement with a man called H. Clay Trumbull. Maybe you've never heard of him. I haven't either till lately. But I read everything, you know. And I search out here, there, and yonder. And the Bible says, study thyself to be approved. So that's how I go about it. Praise God. But I want to read Matthew 18, verse 15 to 20. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that two of you shall agree in earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Too often we say, Lord, will you come? But this word says he's here. He's already here. And so many times we're searching for a feeling and a sensation when you might not have the feeling and you might not have the sensation. And if you have it, that's good. But you can't go on that. Many a time through the Bible, people were deceived on feelings and sensations. So that cannot be our foundation. Our foundation is the Word of God. And the feelings and sensations might come, but we're not depending on them. If you get up tomorrow morning and you know you should be praying and you don't feel like praying, then will you not pray because you don't feel like it? No, you need to pray anyhow, whether you feel like it or not. There's a whole lot of nights I've been preaching for probably over 30 years, as many as a time I don't feel like preaching. But I go ahead and preach anyhow. And there's sometimes I feel the Lord spoke to me and gave me a message, and there's other times I don't feel of nothing, but I preach anyhow. Do you know why? Because the Word of God says preach it in season and out of it. So you have to go ahead with it. Now, God can definitely give you the feeling. I'm not saying you'll not have the feeling. But if you're built never hang on a feeling, you're wrong. You could pray for somebody to be healed, and God could heal them, and you might feel a thing. But my subject tonight is concerted prayer. God wants us to have concerted prayer, where we all unite together and pray, where we have the same aim, the same focus, so that one fellow's not praying for sunshine and the other fellow praying for rain. That's not concerted prayer. That's divided prayer. We want concerted prayer. We want to have a vision for the lost. We all need to have it. When I see God moving, we all need to have it. Now, here's a great wee statement, and that's why I wrote it down, and it's very true. It's so simple, but it's true. Let me read you this little statement. A tourist is climbing an alpine summit, and he finds himself tied by a strong rope to his trusty guide and three of his fellow tourists. As they climb the particular precept, he cannot pray. Lord, hold up my goings in a safe path, that my footsteps slip not. But as to my guide and companions, they must look out for themselves. No. The only proper prayer in such a case is, Lord, hold up our goings and our safe path as we go. That's the only prayer. For if one slips, all will perish. And if one soul got up in front with a rope on him and it's tied to all, if the one falls, all falls. And Solomon says, when your brother weeps, weep with him. When he cries, cry with him. Amen. Now, you mightn't believe that tonight. I know that, but nevertheless, it's the truth anyhow. Isn't it? And I believe the church must have a unity of prayer. A unity of prayer. And there has to be not discord, but incord. In whatever you. Concord. Not discord. Concord. You're together in unity. Amen. What this means that, you know, concluding, the most powerful agency in any church is prayer. That's the most powerful agency in any church is prayer. And when it is used to send laborers out into the harvest, and we can pray for the laborers, and God can send laborers out into the fields. As we've read in Matthew, you read about it. And also sometimes it's to get rid of somebody. Now, you might never hear this preached, but you're going to hear it preached tonight because we read it in Matthew. If somebody has been spoken to by the individuals, then by the elders and deacons and so forth, and they don't want to put something right, they need to get out. Because if they're not willing to fix something that's wrong, they need to get out. because they're bringing discord to the assembly. And the early church, that's how they worked. And not only did the early church work like that, but Paul the Apostle sometimes handed people over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh so that the soul should be saved. We don't see much of this preaching and this teaching in the modern day church today, do we? You can put a knife in anybody's back and never be mentioned, it's never put right. There's never nothing done about it. And it continues on. But that's not the way it was with the early church and the disciples. That's the truth. The Bible says if you offend a brother, you need to go to that brother. And you need to put it right to that brother. And if he doesn't hear you, then you need to bring others. And if they don't hear, it must come before the church. But many a time, you can be accused. You or me, somebody can be accused. And there's nothing done about it. But the facts need to be brought forth. And it needs to be proved out according to the word of God. When we read that in Matthew, and unity, law, order, who will not listen to the members and repent and confess, they must go. You don't hear much of that today, sure you don't. But I'll tell you, it's the truth anyhow. It's right. It's the truth. Church discipline's been lost in the modern Christianity. There's no church discipline today like there was in the Bible times and in olden times. If there's no agreement, there's no real prayer. Do you realize that? If there's no real agreement in the church, there's no real blessing. God can't bless. God can't move if there's not agreement. It doesn't matter how loud you shout or you swing on these lights or run around this hall. If there's discord, God won't be moving. You can have noise and you can have all the hip and the hop, but that doesn't mean God's moving. There has to be a unity in the church and there has to be an agreement, coming into agreement. If there's no agreement, there's no real prayer and there's no real blessing because there can be no real unity when there's no real prayer anyway. But there has to be real prayer. The church that's careless in discipline will be careless in praying. And even when you take your communion, and I don't know why I'm preaching this tonight, but I'm preaching it anyhow, and I don't care whether I know it or not. The Lord's led me to preach it, so I'm preaching it. It's just as simple as that. Many a time you preach something, you don't know why you're doing it, but you just have to commit it to the Lord. It's for me as much as you. 1 Corinthians 11:27-33, and we read this so much, but many times it's not taken seriously. It's not taken seriously. And you know there's a lot of people take communion that should never take communion. Because they're not right with the word of God. And the Bible warns us that we're to check ourselves and examine ourselves. This is for believers now. This is not the unsaved. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many asleep. And you know that word sleep means are dead. And why it's saying sleep, because if there are Christians that can't die, they're not dead, they're sleeping the Lord. But that's what the Bible says here. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, we're living in a modern society, in a modern world, where they'll stick a finger in your face and say, don't be judging. Yeah. That's the world we're living in. But the Bible says here, we're to judge ourselves. We are to judge ourselves. And when you preach the word of God, it's doing the judging. God's word's doing the judging. Somebody mentioned in the place I was the other day about homosexuals. And this boy turned around and he says, my son's a homosexual. And boy was ready to beat the whole place because his son was a homosexual. I said to him, I'm sorry to hear that. That's what I tell him. But you see, the homosexual and the homosexual movement today can shove it in your face. And you're not allowed to say a word or you're homophobic. But they can say whatever they want. Like I seen a clip the other day, some of you might have seen it. This woman came up before the board and she dressed like a cat. I might have mentioned this on Sunday, and she said, I'm identifying as a cat today. And she'd done this before all the school teachers and all in some big place. And she went over the whole thing, she's identifying as a cat and all, and then she turned around and said, she says now, you know why I'm not a cat. And even though I've dressed like a cat, and painted whiskers on myself and dressed up like a cat, you know I'm not a cat. And any teacher with right mental faculties would know that there's something wrong with me if I'm going to say I'm a cat, because I'm not a cat. And then she brought out sorts of same then with children. The teachers themselves should have the common sense to know that a wee lad at 6 or 7 is not a cat or a kitten or a dog. He's a boy or a girl. But the society today lets it go because they're afraid of offending somebody. But John the Baptist said, let the chips fall where they will, when he preached. And people might have been offended, but he just went on about it anyway. He got his head cut off for it. But he did God's will. For if we are judged ourselves, we should not be judged to the Lord. Look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now, it doesn't say condemn such an one, but restore them. And if we see a brother and maybe something's went wrong, we should be quick not to spread round how the bad they've done, but we should be quick to try and get them sorted out back to the Lord. Restored. That's what the Bible says. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And mind you, every one of us can be tempted. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he be rejoicing himself alone. And you, so often you hear people condemned. They're maybe in God's work, and they're condemned. And people condemn them. And if you were to line up what they're condemning, they couldn't lace their boots. Now that's sad, but that's true. We need to watch what we condemn. Because it's like the disciples said, if God's with them, we can't be against them. You know, them fellas went down and they weren't commissioned like the rest of them, but they're casting devils out. And the original disciples were going to stop them. You know the story I'm talking about. They don't belong to our group. It's a whole lot of that, isn't there? They're not part of our group. Well, it's not to do with our group. It's to do with the Lord. It's one church. And God wants unity in that church. I believe God wants unity in his church, the real church. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that. And I believe when unity starts to come, the blessing will come. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth the flesh shall reap corruption to the flesh. But he that soweth the spirit shall reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And I tell you, you could be doing well, but maybe somebody else doesn't think you're doing well. It's like a bit like a brother guy preaching Sunday. They could be disappointed in you. Maybe they don't know you're doing your best. They think you should be doing more. But then if you threw that coin over, what are they doing? Maybe you could be disappointed in them, like a brother preached. What are they doing? But you see, you know, every one of us one day is going to give an account to God for what we have done. We're not going to be condemned or anything like that. It's not a judgment where God will condemn us, but we will give an account for the things we're doing. And you know, when a lot of Christians stand before the Lord and the Lord says to them, well now, how many prayer meetings did you attend to pray for the lost? I'll tell you something about some sad faces. You say the Lord will not do that. Well, yeah, he maybe he will do it. But people say, you know, God's not moving the day. No, God's not moving the day like he used to move, because people's not praying like they used to pray. But when God's people unite and start praying, God will start moving. Now we can cop out, as I call it. That's what I'm going to call it tonight. The doctrinal cop-out. You know what it is? We're in a different age now, and this is the age for God won't be moving. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't believe that. Because I believe Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God cannot deny his own word. And he says, if my people humble themselves and fast and pray, they'll hear from heaven. That's the word of God. We can still hear from the Lord. You know what we have today, a lot of as well? We have a lot of prayerless church leaders and pastors. Now, this is maybe not specifically for you sitting here tonight, but there is places and the pastors don't attend the prayer meetings. They've moved on. And I know of one big church, and the church had at least 1,000 in it or more, and the pastor never attended only the Sunday meetings because they had moved on. They didn't need to have the prayer no more that they used to have. Well, to me, that's absolute nonsense. C.H. Spurgeon was a man that everyone in this room, if you've read anything about him, will agree that he's seen a mighty move of God. They say that he saw a soul saved. I don't know if it was every day or every week for 10 years. I think it was every day. For 10 years, a soul saved. And when they came to ask them what the secret was, prayer, he said. Prayer. And you know, in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, that's where Whitewell got the name from. From the Spurgeon's Tabernacle over in England. The Metropolitan Tabernacle of Spurgeon's over in England, they had prayer 24/7. They had prayer vigil, where people were in shifts on prayer. Now, there's no way you'd get people doing shifts on prayer. Now, you're lucky if you get them to one meeting for prayer. But they had shifts of prayer. But then you wonder why people got saved. That's why they got saved. Because God's people had a unity to pray. And I'll tell you, I'll guarantee you, when that man got into the pulpit, we talk about the great sermons and all. But I'll tell you one thing, if you have people praying like that, it's going to be easy to preach. Do you know what I mean by that? When people's praying and pulling on the gift of God, it's easy to do it because there's a unity. Ezekiel, and I'm going to close when I read this tonight. The modern church, this is a picture really of the modern church here in Ezekiel, chapter 9, verse 1 to 11. And he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen and a white, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen, which had the writer's inkhorn in his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry for the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. God is coming in here to wipe them out. This is what this is about. There's judgment coming here. They're going to be wiped out. But this man in linen and with acorns commissioned to put a mark on those that cry for the abomination of the land. And I believe we as Christians and believers need to be praying for the unsaved and crying out to the Lord for them. I believe that. Oh, my heart. And I tell you, there was a time when somebody prayed and cried for us. And too often, if they're going to come, you see, we've had a lot of preaching that's wrong. And I'm going to tell you that now. We've had a lot of preaching where they've went extreme in predestination. Now, I believe in predestination as long as it stays with the Bible. But there's extreme predestination. And people that believe in extreme predestination say, whoever's going to come is coming. We don't need to do nothing. God will do everything. And they sit in the armchair. Well, you see, that's not according to the way the Lord Jesus worked it. Because he commissioned his disciples and he sent them out. He said, go out and preach. And it's God's will to see him through the preaching of the gospel. For the Bible says it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to see him. Amen. And it's also God's will to answer by prayer. Because the Bible tells us we're to pray continually. God wants us to pray. And here was a group of men that were going to cry out for the abominations that be done in the midst. And to the others he said, verse 5, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spur, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids, little children and all. So he's telling them all the ones that didn't cry out that they were slain. But the ones that just cried out, there's a mark put on them. And I tell you something, we preach about it, but we don't have no real reality of it, really. We don't, I'm being honest tonight. If we had, we'd be moving a bit sharper. We talk about the coming of the Lord, but we're half sleeping about it. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And I'll tell you one thing. Do you know your first commission? To your own house. That's your first commission. Don't be talking about you go here, there, and yonder. Your first commission is to your own family. We need to pray for our own children. We need to have a desire to see them saved. And others as well. But we need to see our own family saved by the power of God. And we need to pray them in. That's what we need to do. And we believe the Lord's coming. And listen to me tonight. There's a time coming when the rapture takes place and the church goes. When the church really goes and the tribulation sets in and the mark of the beast really here. And those that don't take the mark's going to lose their lives. That's the Bible. They're going to have their heads cut off if they don't take the mark. That's the time that's coming. And you realize we could have loved ones that if they're not saved, they're going to be left behind. That's the reality of it. And God's people are too busy to pray. They're too busy, some of them, to pray. They'd rather go to a social or some other bit of a do than praying. But God's calling his people to pray. All of us are called to pray. See how God said, set a mark and spur not and them that sigh and cry for the abomination that's done in the midst of the city. The man with the inkhorn was to mark every one these sighs and cries so that they would escape the impending destruction. And God, every time there's an impending destruction, God always made up a way of escape for the people that obeyed him. Always. He done it in Noah's time. He done it in Lot's time. It's every time God's done it. And you know, even in Lot's time, Abraham stood back there. Abraham, but a type of Christ, and Christ was in him. In a way, you know what I mean by that? The interceding, a type of Christ. And he said, Lord, if there's 40, I'll spare them. And he bent down with God right down. If there's 40, if there's 10, if there's 10, I'll spare them. But there wasn't even 10. But he bent for them. He interceded for them. He prayed for them. He's standing and he's talking to the Lord for them. But you know, we look at people today and we say, oh my goodness, he's a drunkard. He's living in sin. But we forget where we come from. There was no bigger reprobates than ourselves. We were pitch black. And if you don't think you're pitch black, I'm worried about you. Because I'll tell you, every one of us had black hearts. And every one of us was lost till we found Christ. And there's no man without Christ. Every man needs Christ. Every man must come to Christ. There's no other way to come. I know there's been a lot of preaching around the end time message movements. And some of them's preached you can save yourself. Well, I'll tell you, that type of preaching's antichrist. It's not the word of God. You could never save yourself. The Bible says, once and for all, Christ was offered up. Once and for all. Amen. Praise God. Let me read you these couple of scriptures and I should be closing. We need two or three gathered together in unity. Gathered together in his name. Unity in agreement and prayer. You know the Lord Jesus taught us that in Matthew 18. And Paul also taught us it. Paul referred to it, you know, at the church at Rome. And Romans 15, verse 30 to 31, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers for God for me. The man that's preaching needs prayed for. He doesn't need stabbed and kicked. He needs prayed for. That's the truth. Do you believe that tonight? Paul was an apostle and he's saying, will you pray for me? Look at the ministry he had. I tell you, every man that gets in this pulpit needs prayed for. He needs prayed for. He needs people praying for him. He doesn't need people stabbing him or ridiculing him. He needs them praying for him. Praying for him continually. Because we don't know when the Lord's going to come. And we need to take every opportunity we can for the Lord. Every one of us. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Here is unity in prayer. Prayer by agreement. Prayer drives directly at deliverance from unbelieving, from evil people. And there's unbelieving and there's evil people, and they're against the work of God. These fellas going on the streets, we need to pray for them. They're going to get opposition. It's going to come. It'll happen. I know all about it. I preached on the streets many times. It'll happen. Now, you don't go on the streets to condemn people. You go on the streets to preach Christ. And he saves whosoever will. Amen. But you'll have opposition. You'll have all sorts of stuff today. You might even get put in jail. But sure, if it's for the Lord's testimony, what about it? Whatever comes, comes. We need to go on it like that. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 to 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And there's a lot of unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from all evil. There you are. Aren't you glad the Lord can keep you from all evil? May I tell you, it's great. You know, you go on the streets, God can give you boldness. I remember one night me and Ewell was preaching outside the coach. And we're on the steps. And they come out to get us stabbed. And then Ewell was preaching and I stood down in front of him. And they were going to take him down to the steps, but none of them took him down either. I remember preaching in Points Pass. Jordy might have been there, you know. Rock was with me. And there's a crowd of boys come out of a pub. And they were going to stop me preaching. But I never stopped. And Rock stood in front of me. And he said, go on ahead, see if you can get him stopped. But you're coming through me first. So they left it. They gave it a miss. But you don't know who God spoke to when you're preaching on the streets. You see, people go out in the streets and they preach and they think, nobody heard a thing. Never done nothing. That's for you come around. You could have reached somebody and you don't know nothing about it. Look at that wee man in Australia. The many souls he reached. Because he was faithful to the Lord. But faithful. Whatever God's called you to, be faithful. But be men and women in prayer. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. God bless each one this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight that you'll keep us from all evil. Pray for everyone in this house, you'll keep them from all evil and all wickedness of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll give us a desire to pray more, to read more, that you'll bring us closer to you. Lord, for your word says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Lord, I pray that you'll fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. I pray that you'll bring your people into that place for they'll obey your word so much that you'll fill them. For your word says you give the Holy Ghost to them that obey you. And Lord, we want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to be fit to walk on the Spirit, to move in the Spirit, to talk on the Spirit. But, oh God, we pray especially tonight for the unsaved and our families, for the husband, for the wife, for the son or the daughter. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll move them, that you'll speak to them. Lord, that you'll save them. For, Lord, if they're not saved, they're going to the lost hell. But, Lord, you died to save them out of hell and bring them into heaven. And we pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bless these brothers that do go on the streets. Give them courage. Give them grace. May the angel of the Lord be near them. May no evil become them. But may evil be kept from all evil. In Jesus' precious name. We pray in these meetings that you'll move, Lord, by your spirit. We pray, God, that your breath will breathe in this building. And Lord, that every devil will go out of this building. Every demon power. That the Holy Spirit will come in this room in a mighty way. And you'll move in every one of us even tonight. Help us to pray, Lord. When we don't feel like praying, give us the courage to pray. When we don't feel like getting up, help us to get up. And help us to go on. For Lord, your word said tonight, don't be weary and well done. Lord, we look to you tonight for vain is the help of man. We pray you'll bring us into unity of the Spirit, unity of faith. Lord, that there be no strife for strife, but there'll be unity. That two, three, and four of us, whatever there is, will come together and pray in unity for you to command a blessing. And Lord, we know you will command a blessing if you promise to do it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's just continue on and seek the Lord tonight.